for the run.
I'll check. Maybe it's clean.
The companions readied their blasters as the man rushed to the shore. Wading into the icy water up to his waist, JB looked under the bridge and turned toward the others.
Triple load! Same as before. 10, maybe 15 to defuse.
Do it!
Ryan gunned the engine.
We'll hold them off if they're stupid enough to try again.
Mildred gave a sharp whistle, and Jack started firing the M60. Rattling and shaking, the pre-dark truck appeared around the curve, the cannies steadily firing their blasters. Blue smoke trailed from its tailpipe, telling of serious engine damage. The headlights were gone, smoke poured from under the hood, but it was still moving, building speed and coming straight toward them this time. As the companions cut loose with every weapon they had, Ryan studied the battlefield. Dense trees lined both sides, so there was no chance of driving through those. They couldn't cross the bridge, and if they tried to swim across the river, they would be sitting ducks for the cannies to pick off with long blasters. Oddly, the battered truck was coming straight down the middle of the road, as if inviting the companions to try to get by, which made no sense. The Hummer was faster and armored, so no way could the cannies stop it with another sideswipe. Then the man saw the others were throwing handfuls of something out the sides of the wag. One of the objects hit a rock and loudly detonated.
Blasting caps! Those will blow our tires to pieces!
But why did they come back?
Dean was rummaging in his clothes for another clip. Briefly, he made a mental note that he should make a vest or something with nothing but pockets for spare ammo. Yeah, that was a good idea.
We weren't chasing after them.
It's the Hummer. We busted their wag, so the cannies want this as a replacement.
Mildred grimly worked the pump on the SMW shotgun she'd borrowed from JB.
And us for supplies.
Dean registered surprise at the statement, then fierce hatred.
Let them try.
For a split second, he sounded exactly like his father. The truck was only 50 yards away and coming faster all the time. Spitting a curse, Ryan turned in his seat and stared hard at the bridge. Sure enough, there were small metallic dots scattered over the weathered planks. More blasting caps had been strewed about to stop anybody from following the cannies across. Only now the small explosives might also set off the landmines and chill JB while he was working underneath, and there was no way to tell him of the charges on top of the bridge. They were trapped. Having no choice, Ryan started tying off the steering wheel with rope.
Get ready to go, EVA!
Ryan threw the wagon to neutral and shoved the stick on the gas pedal. The engine roared to life.
We've got to take them here on the road!
What for?
Jack didn't look back from the sputtering M60. The dangling ammo belt was nearly gone, but the teenager still rode the machine gun on full auto.
Just do it!
Ryan threw the Hummer into gear. The wag lurched ahead, tires spinning in the dirt. Spewing smoke and blaster fire, the rattling truck loomed before the companions. Through the broken windshield, Ryan could see the canny driver watching eagerly as the two wags closed with frightening speed. Then, the scarred man's toothy expression rapidly changed as he realized the Hummer wasn't trying to get around, but was on a collision course.
Now!
Ryan dove from the wag. He hit the ground hard, but managed to roll off the blow and stopped, lying on his side, blaster still in his hands. Jack and Doc landed nearby, Mildred and Christy close behind. There was no sign of Dean. Slamming on the brakes, the canny driver bellowed in rage as the two vehicles violently smashed into each other. Glass shattering over the sounds of crunching metal. Every loose item in the Hummer went flying as its armored grille pushed in the front of the truck. The working engine propelled backward into the cab, crushing a man with a snake tattoo on his face. Somebody began to scream as fuel gushed from a hole in the gas tank, pooling on the ground under the destroyed wag. Bleeding and dazed, the cannies stumbled from the truck, slipping on the shards of glass scattered on the road. Stiffly, Ryan rose from a crouch and leveled the Sig Sauer.
Light him up!
Steady on one knee, Doc triggered the Lamar four times, and a canny flew backward to slam into the truck, his faceless corpse sliding to the road, leaving a smear of pulped organs behind on the crumpled metal chassis. Lying on the berm, Dean was snapping off shots, and Mildred cut loose with the shotgun, the flechette rounds cutting a canny in two. Spotting his lost Colt Python in the dust, Jack dived for the blaster and came up firing, the .357 hollow point rounds blowing fist-sized holes in men and truck. Hit in the shoulder, a canny dropped the ammo clip for his AK-47. In panic, he ran away, but got only a few yards before reaching the blasting caps. The first blew off a foot. Crying in shock, he fell to a knee, and that too was removed. The man collapsed to the ground and was torn into bloody pieces. Then a large canny lifted another as a shield and sprayed the companions with a Kalashnikov on full auto, the machine gun fiercely chattering. Hastily reloading, Christy felt a tug on her bearskin coat, telling of a near miss. As she dived for cover, Ryan slapped in a fresh clip, stood, and fired. The 9mm round punched a neat hole in the forehead of the dead man being used as a shield, an explosion of blood and brains washing over the canny behind him. Blind, the scarred man dropped the corpse and started to randomly shoot his blaster. Christy hit him in the shoulder, but he didn't stop firing. Dean got him in the thigh, and Jack buried a knife in his gut. Bleeding from a dozen wounds, the canny dropped the spent blaster, drew a knife, and charged, shouting insanely. Stepping out of the way, Ryan and Mildred both put lead in his chest, and finally Doc removed his head completely with a deafening discharge from the powerful Lamar. The companions stood tensely, listening for any movement, waiting for another attack. Minutes passed slowly, and the fire under the truck died away as the fuel was consumed. Ryan holstered his piece.
Okay, it's clear. Let's gather the blasters and get going. That smoke is going to attract attention we don't want.
Why didn't the big guy die faster?
Dean removed the partially loaded clip from his blaster and inserted a full magazine.
Went berserk. There was so much adrenaline pumping through his body, he could have continued fighting for quite a while. It's rare, but does happen sometimes in battle.
He took that many slugs and stayed alive?
Oh, no. He was already dead. Just still moving.
Mutie?
Quite the human thing to do.
Hey, look at this. There are shackle scars on his ankle. These men were slaves.
Escaped Silas.
Jack recovered his blades from the dead man. He wiped them clean on the clothes of one of the fallen, then on an oily cloth from the pocket of his fatigues. One blade he slid up his sleeve, the other went into a boot.
Which means overseers could be on their trail.
Ryan found the Steyr and checked the blaster for damage. It was dirty, but otherwise in fine shape. Slinging the long blaster over his shoulder, Ryan hurried to the Hummer. He started the engine and tried to drive it off the truck, but the wag seemed stuck on something underneath. Shifting gears, Ryan fought with the entangled wag, only making matters worse before admitting defeat.
Sounds like a broken axle. We walk from here.
A sloshing sound announced the arrival of J.B. from the river. As the armorer walked onto the shore, he was holding another large lump of plastique.
Bridge is clear.
Doc pointed with his sword stick.
Not yet. It is covered with blasting caps.
Turning, J.B. snorted.
We can use some branches to simply sweep them into the river. No prob.
Unfortunately, the Hummer is out of commission. The front axle is busted, and the truck is dead. We forcibly removed the engine and burned off the fuel.
So I see. Must have been a hell of a fight. Any chance they can be pushed?
Pushed?
We moved them to the bridge.
J.B. rubbed his arms for some warmth. He was chilled to the bone, but there was no time to change clothes now.
Hopefully nobody will come looking for us, or the cannies, if they think we're already dead.
Understanding the plan, the companions got busy. Christy stood guard duty, while Doc cut branches off the pine trees and J.B. cleared the bridge. Then they emptied the Hummer of supplies, filling their backpacks with everything they could comfortably carry. Shoving the wag backward the few yards took all of them working together, the broken axle refusing to turn very fast. But the companions eventually got it to the middle of the bridge. The truck rolled much easier, and soon it was nose to nose again with the Hummer. Ryan studied the wreckage.
Leave some supplies and blasters. This has to look real. Silas is no fool.
Can we still take along the M60? No way they could know we have one.
Delags have them. If gone, what tink?
The boy frowned.
You're right. Leave it behind.
Better move a couple of cannies to the Hummer to make the body count balance.
While that was done, Ryan gave J.B. one of his dry shirts. Even buttoned shut, the garment still hung loosely off the smaller man, but his teeth stopped chattering and his hands ceased to shake. Feeling better, JB placed a large wad of C4 from the landmines on the bumpers of the wags, and Ryan poured the extra fuel from their spare canister over both machines. Then everybody moved across the bridge before JB